Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Now, I am joined in studio to chat about how we can make our summer fun more sustainable. And we've got broadcaster and sustainability expert, Fionnuala Moran.
Yoo-hoo! We've gone from farts to five giveaways to Fionnuala all on this Friday. The alliteration is off the charts today.
Oh, stunning. That is, sorry, well done. We love the alliteration. I'm so shocked right now.
I have like secondhand, what's it like, cortisol pulsing through me for you after all of that.
Because you witnessed everything standing there. Also, there's a double glazed glass in the studio to the production area. So like, while producer John was screaming at me, and my brain was like, I have no idea what he's saying right now.
Trying
he's
to lift free.
Flapping his hands around the place. You got that from out there being like, anyways, congratulations again to Lauren, who's won herself £5,000. I wonder how she's feeling right now. But we have got a big, fun summer ahead of us. We're all getting very giddy. We're getting very excited. But one of the main things that we're buzzing for is, of course, festival season.
Yes.
We love a bit of festival season.
Seasoned pros ourselves.
Yes. But how can we make our festival season more sustainable?
Yeah, so the summers are getting hotter. We know this. And as ourselves for festivals, last year was the first festival that I was like, ooh, climate change is kind of here. So yeah. I don't know which ones you were at. I don't think we overlapped at either of these, but two of the ones that I was at, the festivals had to shut down their stages due to thunder warnings. I'd never seen that before. There was one day we got sunburnt, hailstoned on, lashed on, and everything in between. So that kind of chaos, it's really landed upon us. So just to still be enjoying our summers, but to be doing things in a way that's going to have less of an impact on the planet, we really need to start considering these things. So yeah. I always think the best place to start with these is the clothes we put in our back first thing every morning. Our wardrobes can be so sustainable. It can be so much fun doing it this way, and it can save us a fortune, which we're all desperately trying to do at the moment as well. So say if you've had like a fab festival outfit before, swap with your friends. Yeah. Same goes for wedding dresses. We've got like the sisterhood, instead the like traveling sisterhood of the pants or whatever that is. We've got that for wedding dresses now, swapping them around, and we're saving ourselves so much money, but also being way more sustainable because our fashion makes up 8 to 10% of global emissions. It's a huge, big chunk, and it's something we have so much control over our own consumption habits of. So we're kind of informing the larger system around us then by our own choices.
And like, look, I know I'm guilty of this as well when I'm looking at like the festival season coming up and holidays and all that. And I'm like, oh, I just want a new outfit. I want to buy something new. But even, you know, like there are great options out there if you do want to buy stuff, to buy it secondhand, like Depop.
Yeah, or like, even if people are going away for lovely holidays, rental has gone huge in Ireland. Loads of amazing young entrepreneurs setting up these incredible businesses the length and breadth of the country. But yeah, like you say, Depop, love shopping secondhand as well. Vestiaire is brilliant as well. There's Thriftify, that's an Irish company. It's set up and got all of the charity shops online. There's so many amazing options like this popping up. So I always say, think secondhand first. Mm-hmm. If there's something that you know in your wardrobe you want, just try and buy it secondhand first if you can find it. I'd also recommend doing, I think some people call it the 72-hour rule, but it's basically where you pause when you see something beautiful and you're like, do I actually need this? You take a little break, step away from it for a moment. And 99% of the time when I've done that, I found, okay, that was an impulse buy. That was just my brain going, oh, pretty new shiny thing. I need this. And then once you've taken the pause, you're like, oh, the money's still in my pocket. I've actually realised I have three similar things already in my wardrobe.
This is it.
Amazing.
Shopping in your own wardrobe.
Yeah, and 100%.
I did a clear out of my wardrobe the day before yesterday where I went through things. I was like, oh my God, I forgot that I own XYZ, which is like a great refresher for coming into festivals. And also, there's always a full year apart from every festival. I know that we hit up a lot of them during the summer, but you can mix and match being like, okay, well, I wore this to Forbidden Fruit so I can wear that to Electric Picnic and I wore that to Electric Picnic so I can wear this to Bot. You know,
and like, this is the thing no one remembers. I wore a dress to my pal's wedding that I'd worn to an awards ceremony a few years previously and everyone's like, where'd you get the dress? I was like, if we are as in our own heads as we think we are of being like, oh my God, I've worn this before, I couldn't possibly wear it again, I've been photographed at this before, people have seen this before, like, get over ourselves. No one remembers. Yeah. No one is considering ourselves as much as we are. I find this fascinating and I can't wait to like study the psychology of this further. But the learned behavior of, oh no, I've worn it once, I can never wear it again. That is wild. It's a really new behavior that we've all learned over the last few years at social media. And we just need to unlearn it now because it is deranged.
We need to bring it back to our teenage years where like you would honestly own like one skirt and a nice top and you would bring it to the house that everybody was getting ready at. set and you would mix and match of who was wearing what that night. So like, you know, there's all that in it. Okay, the rare days where we're not dancing in a field at festivals, how can we do day trips in a way that doesn't harm our planet?
So this is going to be a really handy one. I think first and foremost, pack a little bag of reusables, and this is like a lovely spoon, fork, all of those things. We've all had the experience of eating off like, what, look,
I can't
do
the wooden forks, but I've got a little
no one wants to do a wooden fork.
Yeah, where you have like, it's like I've got a fork, a spoon and a knife, and like I paraded it around the office a couple of weeks ago when I got this, and I was like, I don't have to eat off a dodgy, like, because I can taste it in my mouth.
Yeah, and even if it's not day trips, even if it's just for the office, I'll never understand people who sit at the same desk every day and they have the capacity to have a lovely, gorgeous, proper mug that says a little something about themselves there, a real mug, and they're drinking out of paper cups every day. Like, it's just gross.
That's just a habit though as well. It's like, just
and totally,
to
and this is the thing, it's about looking at our habits and going, oh, I could do this a little bit better, but also the experiential thing there of doing the more sustainable thing is way nicer. So bringing around our reusables that are not wood, so we're not eating splinters, is a vibe. So that's something we want to
talking about the coffee cups as well. A lot of places will offer like a subsidized coffee if you bring your own cup.
Which is amazing. And there was really scary studies done earlier this year about the amount of microplastics and nanoplastics that we're drinking. It's like 250,000 in every liter bottle of water. So like, it's the same goes for coffee cups. They're often plastic coated, especially when you're putting hot stuff on those. Like, it's just not a vibe.
I heard you talking about the nanoplastics before. And also about cleaning the straw out, hence why I have my own water bottle.
Phenomenal.
I'm so particular every night. I'm like scrubbing that straw. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah, so with our reusables, ideally if it's for drinking things, if we can do glass or aluminium or laugh in, they're both infinitely recyclable as well. So if we're picking those over plastic things for anything in life, that's absolutely the way to go. But another thing that I think is really fascinating is just planning a gorgeous encounter with nature, because I think that's such a gorgeous way to be like, oh my god, I really want to protect all of this. Now, we all collectively lost our minds when the Northern Lights hit us the other week, even though they looked awful unless you were looking through your phone at them. But something like that just makes you go, oh my god, wow, we already have everything we need in this planet. I know the puffins are back in the Salty Islands. There's gorgeous dark sky reserves around Ireland and Kerry Mayo and the Sperrin Mountains. You can check them out in darksky.ie, but like going stargazing there, anything like that just kind of gives you back the awe in nature, because increasingly our lives are getting more and more sterile, kind of moving away from these spaces in nature where we can see how beautiful everything we already have is. So just reconnecting on that level, I think, is a gorgeous way to plan a day trip. There's basking sharks off the coast of Mayo. Like, this is
the most
spectacular country in the world. So just get out and enjoy a little bit of that. But when we're doing that, it's really important to leave no trace. Now, this is Ireland's only outdoor ethics education program. So you can go on the website, and the 7 leave no trace principles are to plan ahead and prepare. So that's things like we were saying there, bringing our reusables, be considerate of others. So just not wrecking the place. Don't be blaring loud music, having like a mad party and other people are getting disturbed. Then respect farm animals and wildlife, travel and camp responsibly, leave what you find. So that's not bringing home all of the nature, so there's nothing left there for everyone else coming after you. Dispose of waste properly and protect nature from fire. Now, anyone who's lived near a mountain range, I grew up in Bray, it was always going on fire from people coming through for a day trip, being silly, lighting a thing, it gets out of control, and then the whole mountain is ablaze. There's houses up there. It's very stressful for everyone. Be so careful with that stuff. Maybe just don't light the fires at all.
Yeah, maybe just leave them where they are. Summer celebrations at home can be impactful too, depending on what food we serve up.
Yeah, so this is one, and there was some recent research from the ESRI that I was stunned by, because I've been doing the plant-based thing for a little while now and I really enjoy it and it works for me. And I know it doesn't work for everyone, but I don't preach that everyone needs to go vegan at all. It's always the case that a million people doing things a little bit is better than one or two people doing it like full-blown. So what this research found from the ESRI was that only 4% of us realise the impact our diet can have on climate. So I thought that was fascinating. But if we eat a little bit more plant-based, now, not saying everyone has to go whole hog at this, no pun intended with the hog, but if you can add a few more plant-based options, maybe instead of some meat ones, so at the barbecue, if you're adding some more side salads instead of maybe more stuff like that, we can have a 75% reduction on our impact of the planet if we are eating more plant-based stuff. That report came out in The Guardian a little while ago. So it's a really interesting way to think about, like we were saying, with the clothes we put in our back, the food we put in our plate as well are really, really powerful places to start and just get us thinking about the whole system.
But there's an even like, there's a selfish reason to do that too, because the more kind of like whole foods and fruit and veg you're getting into your life, the better you're feeling. And you know, especially in the summer where you're feeling so sluggish and so like, oh, it's warm, I'm puffy, I'm ever, like, fruit and veg helps with that. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. If you like, if you take the environment out of it and look at yourself, because everybody always looks out for number one.
And this is the thing, I always say, I don't care why people get to sustainability once they get there. And realistically, over the last few years, the cost saving has been the massive incentive. And I know for myself too, I found any of the veggie and the vegan eating cheaper, which is a
great incentive in my book. So I love that.
If it is an adventure beyond Ireland that we're in the mood for, what is the slow travel buzz all about?
So this is kind of, obviously we're in Ireland, so planes are a bit of a necessity here. Yeah. But slow travel is just kind of taking a little break, taking things slower. Like, we've seen a lot of this really like going skyrocket levels with working remotely capabilities now. So this is traveling slowly through a place. It's whether you're going for a little bit longer. It's just not the mad packed itinerary. It's going somewhere, really enjoying it, really getting to see it a little bit more. You can do it like a career break. It's a big thing for retirees as well, but like really immersing yourself in a place and just going about it in a more, dare I say, enjoyable way. But if you think about any kind of things where you're getting yourself around, so cycling trips, the Camino's become a really popular one again. Or you could do like Russell Cook, the hardest geezer. He took 352 days to run the length of Africa. I don't know if anyone's getting that much time off work.
No.
To each their own. There is massive extremes within this, whatever way you want to do it. The rail revolution is also a massive thing as well. So like, I know a lot of people would have done interrailing when they were younger and they would have done it that way. But you can do these in really luxury ways as well. So and see so much more of a landscape and a country and even a continent going around on amazing rail trips. So those are all fantastic ways you could do it. But if you are pinching the pennies and you want to do one for free, this is something my mom was telling me about years ago, and I was like, that's not a real thing. That can't be a real thing. But there's this thing called Wolf Holidays. So this is basically where you get like your accommodation for free and everything else. And all you're doing basically, depending on where you go in the world and what you choose to do, there are these work opportunities on organic farms all over the world. So there's ones in Ireland where you could be like fishing for oysters or like helping out with little baby goats all day. Or you could be in the south of France working on a vineyard or in like Champagne doing that kind of stuff. Like absolutely mad stuff. But basically, it's a great way, again, to reconnect with nature and kind of really understand the planet and our food systems and everything else like that a little bit more. So it's fascinating.
Is this like all the, you know, the millions of people that we've lost to Australia who are working on banana farms?
Yes, but like, I think this one is you don't need to get a visa. At the end, you can just go and do it. Yeah. And you have more selection over where you end up, I think.
Fionnuala, how can simple things like our sun cream choice have a big impact on the nature around us? This is something that, like, actually, until I went to Mexico a couple of years ago, this never even entered my head.
And were they really careful about
very strict, yeah.
Fantastic, because this is one I don't think we really focus enough on Ireland, but basically if we are swimming a lot, our sun cream obviously comes off into the water when we go swimming and it can be really highly toxic to the sea life there. So it can do all sorts of mad things. And maybe if we're really careful with this, fungi might come back, because some of the stuff it does with dolphins, the chemicals can accumulate in their tissues, cause hormonal imbalances, and those can be passed on to their youth then. It bleaches coral reefs. It can like stress out mussels, the little shellfish guys. And it does loads of stuff to fish endocrines, disrupting all of that as well. So like, wild to think, because it's just not something that I think would cross most of our minds, but then that's something to be really cautious of. So there is now, this is a tricky one, because depending on where you are in the world, it changes the rules and what's allowed and what's not allowed and stuff like that.
Because so, we need sun cream, you know what
I
mean? So
we need to look at the ingredient list. With the Irish skin. Yeah, so there's lots of different words that I can't pronounce, but if you give them a Google, DCU have a great page on this, like things like oxybenzone, you're going to want to be dodging all of those. But a lot of them will have reef safe marks, but you just need to make sure that it's an appropriate one for the place in the world that you were in when you're wearing it.
Yeah, the place that we had gone to, they would look in your bags first to check the ingredients on your sun cream and the mosquito spray and all that kind of stuff, because again, they're trying to protect their, you know, their wildlife and their coastal regions.
Yeah, the reason people are coming to these beautiful places.
Exactly, is because we all want to look at them. But for us, I suppose, that never entered my head. And I'm sure a lot of people are thinking the same, being like, what?
Yeah.
Like, obviously I need to put my sun cream on before I jump into the 40 footer off like down Salt Hill. You know, like, it's just being aware of these little changes that we can make to help everybody around
us. Yeah, 100%. And I think the way you kind of see this and you go, oh no, if you've ever been to a really busy swimming spot on a day when it's still and you can see that awful film on the water and you're like, oh, we did that. That's gross.
Yeah, that's because of us. To get more sustainability tips from broadcaster and sustainability expert Fionnuala Moran, you can find her on Instagram at Fionnuala Moran. And you will be right back here at this fantastic show that happens at 9 o'clock on a Saturday and Sunday morning.
I think it's by this gal called Laura Fox.
I think it is.
My bum is numb keeping her seat warm for this long.
All joking aside, I want to thank you for that. You're doing a fantastic job and you're a joy to listen to.
My pleasure.
Fionnuala, thank you so, so, so much.
Jem Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.